On the 5th. Yeah. 250, that's right. Been blessed as a nation. Don't realize how blessed we have been. Thank the Lord for an opportunity again to come to His house and meet and fellowship together. Looking forward to the rest of our services today as we continue to look at Satan, the devil, and sin. That's a combination when we look at it and think about it. But I want us to look at it in a little bit more detail this morning. Some things in God's Word that we do not totally have an answer for, that we don't totally understand, but we're not supposed to understand all of it. He just gives us the knowledge by the leadership of the Holy Spirit to understand those things that He wants to reveal to us. But I do thank you for being here today. I ask you to bow with us in a word of prayer. And we're going to be mostly in the book of Genesis. First, second, third chapter of the book of Genesis. Been kind of wearing you out with that. But there's something else I want us to look at today. In a different light than we've looked at it. Lord, again today we come with thankful hearts. Lord, I thank you that I have had an opportunity to live my life in these United States of America. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've blessed this nation with. And Lord, I'd ask that our blinded eyes might turn back to you. Lord, we are a nation that seems to be getting farther and farther from you each and every day. And Lord, may this 250th anniversary help us to stop and pause and just think on how blessed we've been. And may it cause us to look back to you and thank you for all the blessings of life and all that you provided for us and all the watch care that you've placed over. Lord, most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your precious Son, and our Lord and Savior. We ask now as we gather today that the Holy Spirit might walk us through these scriptures and that we might gain knowledge and understanding by these that we study today. And Lord, help us to be a stronger Christian when we leave than we were when we got here. Help us to stand strong and bold for the name of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the most precious gift ever given, your Son, Jesus Christ, whom we profess as our Lord and our Savior. Bless this gathering now, in thy name we do pray. Amen. Now, you know, we've been talking about for the last couple of Sundays, we've been talking about Satan and sin. You remember last Sunday I asked the question, I said, where's the first place the devil's mentioned in God's Word? And, you know, I was surprised when I looked at it because, you know, we look at First Chronicles and that's way on in the Scriptures, first time he's mentioned. Then we look at Job and he's mentioned. Then we look at Ezekiel, he's mentioned. Then I said, well, where in the world is the first time the devil's mentioned in God's Word? And you're talking about surprise, surprise. We've got to go away to Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 1, before we have the devil mentioned. But the question is this morning, where did sin start? And what is sin? So let's look at a few things, and that's the reason I want us to go back and read what we have read so many times. But I want us to look at it in maybe a little bit more detail than we've ever looked at it. As many times as I've read it, and you hear me say this all the time, as many times as I've ever read this, there's a couple of things I had never thought about. So with that in mind, let me put this, I want you to think on this now as we continue to study. What's the definition of knowledge? Now, Webster says that knowledge is all that can be known or can be learned about something, about a topic. So now we're fixing to see in Genesis the word knowledge used. So you have to keep that in mind now. It's all that can be known or learned. Now, the next question is, if a thing does not exist, how can you have knowledge or know anything about it? And that's impossible. It must exist before you can have knowledge, learn anything about it, or understand anything about it. So keep that thought in mind. Now, we have talked about when we saw the devil. We've talked about the word knowledge. Now, let's talk about two more words. Where's the first place sin is mentioned in God's Word? Now, that comes near, much nearer than Satan and much nearer than the devil. Because we find that sin is mentioned very soon in God's Word, chapter number 3. Now, we have evil mentioned prior to the word sin. So let's look at those two words for just a moment. Evil, moral, morally bad, wrong, sinful, wicked. That's evil. Then we look at sin, and it says the breaking of the laws. This is according to Webster. Breaking of the law of God on purpose. And then I put a footnote down here for this. And I says, well, let me read something to you. It says, I say breaking the commandments of God in knowledge or ignorance. Sin is breaking the commandments of God in knowledge or in ignorance. Now, look at 1 Timothy with me for just a moment. 1 Timothy, chapter number 1, and verse number 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. It's Paul writing. He said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Ignorantly in unbelief. We've all been down that road. So now, with those thoughts in mind, just keep those thoughts in mind now. But we want to go back and look at the word knowledge. Remember now I said knowledge is all that can be known or learned about a subject. Now, in the book of Genesis, we've already talked about Lucifer, the morning star angel, Isaiah chapter number 14, where he's cast out. We've already talked about Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And we've talked about Genesis verse number 2, when it was void in the darkness. Then we talked about Isaiah 45, when he said he formed it back to be inhabited by man. He said he created it not in vain. It couldn't be like verse number 2 is, because he says he created it not in vain. God don't create anything in vain. He's a perfect God. Now, what we see in the book of Genesis in chapter number 1 is God, as he prepares the earth for man to live in again, to survive on. He said, I established it that it might be inhabited by man. That's Isaiah 45. Now, look at something with me for just a minute. In the book of Genesis, in chapter number 1, verse number 27 and 26, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And then it said, and God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So we see the end of his work in what we call the creation week. But now let's look at something in chapter number 2. Now, in chapter number 2, in verse number 1 and 2 and 3, he tells us about his finished work. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hoofs of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. Now, I want you to look at all these words in these verses too, which he had made. And we know making, something already exists when you have it, you make it. This didn't used to be this. It's been made into this. It's made. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So we see where he formed the earth back that it might be inhabited by man. We see also where he created living creatures and man and those things that it took to provide for man. And then when we look at number 4, it says, these are the generations of. So now what we're going to see in this second chapter of Genesis, it's like us looking at our generation. He's going to give us more clarity on how this procedure took place in chapter number 1. He says, it's the generations of the heavens and the earth which were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So we've got creation and made here again. When he said, never planted the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the God hadn't caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole earth, the face of the ground. Now we're getting into where he created man. And of course, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed in the nostrils of the nest of life, and he came a living soul. So the breath that you breathe today, the life that's in you today, is the breath of God that was passed on through the birth process. Now this is where I want to begin to look at something. Now watch this. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And he put the man whom he had formed. So what did God do? Now he has planted a garden eastward in Eden. He has taken the man that he has formed and he has put him in the garden. And something comes to my mind this morning that touched my heart greatly. Through Christ, we have created a new man, right? Here God created Adam. He's planted a garden over here. No sin, no sorrow, no pain, nothing. I'm going to put you in there and I'm going to just let you do what I asked you to do. You just rest it, look after it. And it'll be a pleasant and peaceful life like you cannot imagine. But sin came into the picture, didn't it? But he also created in us a new man through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And one day, He's going to take you and He's going to take me at His appointed time, and He's going to pick me up and He's going to put me in the garden of heaven. Streets of gold, gates of pearl. Mansions. We can't imagine what that's going to be like. But now let's look at what happened to Adam in the Garden of Eden. He said, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the eye and good for food. Now I want you to keep that thought in mind. He said He made out of the ground to grow everything that's what? Good for food, okay? And pleasant to the eye. Keep those two phrases in mind this morning with me, okay? Now he semicolon, he said, in that garden also is the tree of life. He said, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, I asked you the question a while ago, what is the definition of knowledge? And we say that it's to learn all you can, all the knowledge you can learn about something. But you cannot learn anything at all about something that does not exist. Now follow me just a moment. Where are we at in the process of Adam and Eve sinning in the Garden of Eden? Where we are right now in this scripture, Eve is not even in the picture. See, we're looking at a more detail of what took place in Genesis 1 when He created man and woman. And He created everything. Now, if something don't exist, you have no knowledge of knowing about it. But here, all of a sudden, He says He has in the Garden of Eden a tree. And what is that tree? That tree is the knowledge of good and of evil. Now, what does that mean? That means that evil existed before Adam and Eve were in the picture. So where did this evil come from that it exists? And that's the reason we look at Isaiah. And we look at chapter number 14. And we see Lucifer, the morning star angel. And we see those, that phrase that He said time after time after time, I will. And that I will was His evilness. And that I will created sin. Maybe I need to read that again to you. Isaiah chapter number 14. And let me read it. And you look at thy wheels. He said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Now remember I said last Sunday when God created, or when God made the Garden of Eden, that He put man in it and told him to dress it, look after it, keep it, take care of it. And I believe. Now, remember, I have said, I believe. You have to read God's Word, let the Holy Spirit work with you and show you the truths of the Scripture. And I believe that God, when He made in Genesis 1:1, He created the heavens and the earth. And I think that He put Lucifer, the morning star angel, in charge, so to speak, to look over it and to take care of it. See, He says now He is the prince and the power of the air. You know, Satan, this is his abode for now, for the time being, until God gets ready to rescue us and His creation. And I think that you see what we see here in Isaiah chapter number 14, in these verses. And God said, how are you fallen, Lucifer? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. You got to have territory if you got a throne. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation of Zion. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And God says, you think so? Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. And I think that's where sin and evilness originated. And that's the reason that I think that when we look in the Garden of Eden, prior to Adam and Eve's sin, we have, it's mentioned that there is a tree here, and it is a tree that's the knowledge of good and of evil. Now, we don't question God. And I've told you when I started this, God's got a plan. And we are not puppets on a string, and aren't you glad? We have a free will. So what's He going to do? Well, I think He and Satan, remember I said, I think He and Satan had some conversation prior to this event. You remember with Job, we talked about that last Sunday, when God said, if you consider my servant Job, he's righteous and there's none like him. And in the conversation, Satan says, you take all your blessings away from him, he'll curse you. And God said, no, he won't. Remember I said, Job's on trial, but who else is on trial? When you think about it, God's on trial, because he said, he won't curse me. So he said, Satan, let me tell you something. I've created this earth. I'm in charge. Now, what I'm going to do, or I don't even might have already done it. He says, I'm going to create man. I'm going to give him a nature that's more prone to serve you than it is me. I'm going to put him in your own backyard. And I'm going to show you that I can save man in your own backyard. And that's the reason you and I are not puppets on a string today. God says, I want you to love me how? With all your heart and your soul and your mind. He wants us to love Him because what He has done for us. because He has saved us by His marvelous grace. He has sent His beloved Son to pay the debt of sin for us. And He wants to, us to love Him because of how He has loved us. Because He first loved us. And that's what this is all about. And here we find, I'll put a tree of knowledge in good and evil to test Him. And of course, we know what happened. You look at verse number 15 and 16. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. But now you watch this. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Every one of them. You can freely eat. Chapter number 17 starts with the word but. What have I told you? Better pay attention when you see that one. But of the tree of the knowledge. And here it's mentioned the knowledge again. And I tell you, if it don't exist, you have no knowledge of it. Okay? He said, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now remember the phrasing in this. Thou shalt surely die. I keep watching the clock. Now, see, here's where we see how the steps of this is taking place. The Lord God said, it's not good for man to be by himself. So he said, the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate. And then we know the story. We talked about that. He formed the first surgery. If you have major surgery, what they do? They put you to sleep. What did God do to Adam? Put him to sleep. It works, don't it? And then we talked about that he took the rib. And he remembered that in chapter number 1, verse number 27, male and female created he them. So he also created Eve just like he did Adam. He formed Adam from the dust of the ground. He formed Eve from a rib. He breathed into both of them the breath of life, and they both became living souls. Now, we also talked about the fact that they both were naked. Husband and wife, the only place that's proper in this world. This world can't see that. Might I say it's the only place a half dress is proper, too, between husband and wife. Anyhow. But now I want you to look at, let's look at chapter number 3 and let's look at verse number 1. It says, now the serpent. Now where have you seen anywhere from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 3:1 that it says anything about the devil? But now God's put, now Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. So where'd he come from? If there was no sin until after Adam and Eve sinned, how do you get this old sinful serpent in the picture? So there had to be evil and sin prior to Adam and Eve sitting in the Garden of Eden. Because here he is. And he says he's more subtile. He's something, boy, he's something else. If we look in God's Word, we find that Satan can disguise himself very well. And he does a good job of it. Here's one of those situations that he has done that. But there's not a thing in the world but Satan speaking through this beautiful creature, whatever it might be. Because you notice that he said, and he said unto the woman. He said unto the woman. She's not afraid of him. She's not running from him. Why? Why was she not afraid of him? You ever thought about that? You know why she was not afraid of them? She had no idea what being afraid was. She had no idea what fear was. Sin had not entered the picture. And fear had not entered into the picture. So she had no idea what being afraid is. So she's not afraid of him. They're just sitting there having a conversation. But look at the conversation. Yea, hath God said. Now, if you think the devil don't know what's going on, what does he know here? He already knows the command that God has already given to Adam and Eve. He gave it to Adam. Man, you're responsible for your household. He gave it to Adam, and Adam gave it to Eve. And they knew, both knew, you leave that alone. There has been a commandment by God given that you do not mess with that. If you do, it's going to be trouble. So, yeah, Satan knows all about what that's all about, too. And he knows that if he can get Adam and Eve to partake of that God's not commanded them to partake of, that thou will put them in a judgment situation under God. And that's what he wants to do. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but, and there's that word but again, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said. Did she know what God commanded about that tree or not? She said here, God hath said. So she knew, didn't she? Leave it alone. Said, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And God didn't say anything about touching it. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That's his first lie. That I can find to mankind. But he's a liar, and he's lied, all the time since. For God doth know. Now, I want you to look at what the devil knows. Look at what this serpent's saying. God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. May I remind you of something? And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that was pleasant to sight and good for food. Remember that statement. It's pleasant for the eye. It's pleasant for sight. And it's good for food. Now let me ask you a question. Is there anything then about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that's pleasant for sight or good for food? God said, no, you better leave it alone. But here, look at this. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw, sometimes we can't look beyond our nose. It said, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Is that what God said about this thing? He said, I'm going to plant and make come out of the ground every one that's good for food and pleasant for sight. Now, I don't know where the tree of knowledge and good and evil came from. I just know that it's there. You have got the tree of life in there also. If you notice, both of those are mentioned after the planting out of the ground that's come forth. And I don't know in what form or how they ended up there. All I know is God said it's there. And here it says she looked and she saw that it was pleasant to the eye. It was good for food and it was pleasant to the eye. And a tree to be desired. There's our problem. To be desired. To make one wise. So she took, therefore one did eat, and gave to her husband, man and wife. And gave to her husband, and with her he did eat. Now here we are. And what does this say happened? And their eyes were what? Oh, both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. So all of a sudden now they realize that they are not fit to be in the presence of God. The time's about gone. So what do? They try to make themselves to be in a position to be in the presence of God. And I don't care what you and I do, we cannot cover up our sins. They can only be covered by the blood of Christ. Your sins and my sins can be covered no other way but by the blood of Christ. And it says, and they walked in the garden, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was what? I was afraid. I was afraid. Do what? Not afraid before. But they're afraid now of what? They weren't afraid of the serpent. They were not afraid of the devil. But now they've sinned. And now they're afraid of their Creator. And they're trying to hide themselves from their Creator. Say that loud, Levon.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
That's right. They're fixing to find out something, and I've got to quit, y'all. Now, we're going to pick this up. I thought I'd finish it. They want to pick it up next Sunday, though. And he said, that is, God said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Wouldn't it be great if the world today could realize that they're naked before God and they need His saving grace to cover their sin? God bless you, and thank you for listening.